McCoy Show. Now, Buccaneers defensive tackle Gerald McCoy and your host, Scott Ledger.
What's going on there, big number 93?
What's up, my man?
Good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to be 5-2.
I was just going to ask you that question, so why don't you give me a little longer answer to how does it feel to be 5-2?
Oh, it's great, man. We're just going to keep it rolling. That's really how I feel. Coach Morris went out on a limb and said what he said last week, and he got criticized all week and ridiculed and all those big words. But, you know, that was nothing but him saying, I believe in my team, so I think it's okay to say this because this is just how we believe, what we believe, and he believed in us to back him up, and we did that. So we're just going to keep it rolling.
It's amazing how, you know, when you go into a season, all teams expected to get to the Super Bowl. You wouldn't be lining up and wearing pads if you didn't expect that you were going to win games and compete and get to the playoffs and make it to the magic top of the mountain. But each win in this league is so hard to come by. I think you're starting to learn that. You mind if we go over this crazy game a little bit here?
Let's do it, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, what a roller coaster ride that was.
I mean, it was. It definitely was. There was a time where we had them down pretty good. And if we stop them and get them off the field, and the offense comes back and scores again, then, you know.
That was right at the end of the third quarter.
In the doghouse.
And then we'll get to that. But, you know, they start off with a TD. Larry Fitzgerald gets himself a score. And it took me back to Cincy. We were trailing by seven. Cincy did the same thing. They got a big touchdown. And we get a pick six. Last time it was Cody Grimm. This time around, Geno Hayes, but I think it really started off with Sean Jones on a blitz there, didn't it?
It did. He came off the edge, and he got a good hit on Max Hall, and Geno was in the right place at the right time. You know, he had seen his read. He was where he needed to be, and the ball came right to him.
You were talking to me off the air. It seems that a lot more Buccaneer players, including you, as a matter of fact, are in the backfield, which is a really good sign. Geno, the previous play, remember it kind of
– Right, he had two good plays in a row,
I don't know if that
man.
Was a run that they screwed up or if it was a play action.
Yeah, it was a run. He tried to hand it off, but he seen Geno coming.
So that's why he didn't get a sack. That's why he didn't get a sack.
Right.
All right, so Geno makes it like a 7-yard loss. Next thing you know, you got a pick six, and you're right get back in the game. And then Sammy Strouder kind of coughs up a punt. They get good field position. Beanie Wells gets a paycheck in this league, too. And then, you know, it's almost like, man, okay, we're back in it. We're back. Oh, wham. And next thing I know, Mike Williams, three plays later, the kid can play some ball, ain't can he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's good, man. And he got open. And, you know, the guy that delivered the ball can play a little bit, too.
Yeah, he's starting to get the public attention. He was on with Jim Rome today, as a matter of fact.
So, right. Yeah. No, he's playing well, man. That's great. They got that connection that every great quarterback receiver, you know, combination.
What is
needs.
That? Trust? What is that?
I don't know if it's
like a wink
they feel
at the sideline.
I don't know if it's just like they feel each other. It's like he knows, all right, if I get open, I mean the ball's gonna be there. And that's just how it works. Funny thing, we were riding back to the airport on the bus and I heard Mike in the back talking and he said he was running, and he thought he was going to have to go, you know, go get the ball. And he, when Free threw it, the ball was like right there in his hands. He was like, oh, the ball.
You know? Is that how he described it? I can
right,
see
that's
that.
Exactly what he was like, oh, the ball. Okay.
Unlike really Spen a little later in the game who laid
He
out.
Had to go get it.
Yeah.
He did.
That was a beautiful catch.
But yeah, it was. But Free, he puts the ball where it needs to be in. Our receivers as they catch the ball.
Fourth touchdown already for the rookie wide receiver.
Yeah.
He's starting to make waves. If you don't have him on your fantasy team, you're not a very good fantasy player. Honestly, Mike Williams is fun to watch. This is when you guys started to really pick it up again. You know, Tlaib has been around footballs. He's had a couple that hit him in the hands earlier in the season. Wished he had back, but you guys are starting to get these multi-pick games.
Yeah, he made up for those where he had his
Describe
hand on the
that.
Ball.
Describe his pick six.
Yeah, I watched it earlier today. Quarterback, he made the right read, but Aqib just he jumped the route and he took it to the house. And, well, I don't think Aqib gets enough credit for how fast he is. If you watch the play, you see how fast he got to the end zone. He's pretty fast, and he came out his break great. He broke on the ball. Our coach calls it QB key ball out break.
All right, you're going to have to translate that for us. Well,
QB key to quarterback.
Okay.
When the ball comes out, break on the ball.
Gotcha.
And that's what he did. And he broke on it and took it to the house, man.
And Kyle Moore, unfortunately, wants to get in on the dance routine. I don't know what that was.
I don't know.
You know, I kind of impromptu. Aqib talked to us. He sat here last week and talked, or 2 weeks ago, talking about, I can't wait to get to the end zone, my first pick six. I got a little, I don't know, what was that, like the Carlton? What was he doing there?
I don't know, man. I think
I'm not much of a dancer, but anyways, it cost you guys 15 yards. This really ridiculous rule in the NFL. It wasn't choreographed. Someone else just kind of came up. I think right. The refs are so worried about someone choreographing something. Bottom line is the Cards end up with a ball on the 45-yard line, and you and I were talking about this before we went on the air. Wells gets 10, Anderson deep sideline, Breston makes that great catch. Tlaib's on him, but makes that great little 34-yarder, and they get within striking distance. They get down to the goal line, and now they're looking at first, second, and third down. I want you to describe that series because you were big in that series, first down, second down. I think they ran first two downs.
Yeah, they did. We were in a actually like a pass rush package, and what happened was they gave me like a trap, and the guard flashed and went down, and my job is to get underneath the pulling guard, and I did that. I made that play.
So then, yeah, was it like a line of scrimmage or – no, not a loss. I think it was like maybe a one-yard game.
No, this was different. That was a different series. This play, I got a double team.
Okay.
And I just stood in there and I split the double team and made the play. Next play, I got the exact same block, and I split it and made it again. And then that's when
third down, a little check down. Barrett kind of sheds a guard
right,
and
Barrett
gets the running
it,
back.
The play.
And then they decide to throw on fourth down,
right.
And I think it bounced off a helmet or something.
Yeah, he threw it, and I looked, and I seen it bounce. And
yeah.
I said, did it hit somebody?
It looked like he bounced it off.
Yeah, it did.
That was a big series. You know, you guys, two reasons it's a big series is, one, you stop them on fourth down, and, you know, you're up 21-14 at the time. And then, of course, you convert that nice, great long drive. You turn it into 3 points. What did it feel like to go in at the halftime up by 10, where you hadn't had that a lot this year?
What's that?
What did it feel like to have a 10-point lead at the half? I mean, it's not like you guys have had
right,
10
we haven't
point...
been up,
no,
really
no,
been up
no.
this year. It felt good, man. And we didn't necessarily take it as, okay, we're in the lead, we got this game. Nobody thought that. We knew we had to come back out and finish the game.
Sure.
I mean, we came out, we started fast. We just, I don't know, man. It was like within 20 seconds, they scored 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, it was 20. It was 21-14, 10 points right then and there. And, you know, they end up with good field position because of a penalty. And they break a 30-yard run. And then, of course, LeGarrette Blount looked like he got a stinger. At least that's what he said in the post game.
Yeah, he said he got a stinger, man. He hit. When he got hit, I just seen his body just, like, fall.
Yeah.
And I was like.
Scary fall.
What happened?
You didn't see him.
But he was moving.
Sure.
He was moving afterwards, so I knew it wasn't any paralysis. You know, immediately I prayed, God, don't let him be paralyzed.
Ever have a stinger?
Yes.
Okay, describe what a stinger. Everybody asked me what a stinger feels like. Now, I've had one, but I want you, a professional athlete, to describe
what a stinger feels. Oh, when you get a stinger, it's like a really, 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 really sharp pain down whatever side or whatever it is you got hit in. So if you got hit on the right side of your neck, like your whole right arm goes numb.
Almost like on fire, like a.
It stings really bad. Yeah,
From the inside out.
From the inside out.
And you feel it up your back of your neck and your brain too.
Right.
It's almost like gets
everything
real hot.
Goes numb.
Yes.
And it's hard for you to keep playing that next snap
and reach for a football that's right in your knees.
Right. It comes back. It comes back right after, but at that point you need to take a play off because it does hurt.
And 26 seconds later, you guys have a 3-point lead. So
yeah.
What was the sideline like then? Because we're talking to a young football team. I'm just trying to get the idea of what it was like, you know, because this was a roller coaster ride for us to broadcast as well as the fans. So, you know, this is the first time you've had a big lead, and now it's starting to get squandered. Tell me what it was like for you guys.
I mean, Coach Morris always tells us to play 60 minutes, so we knew the game wasn't over. Now we're in another fight. So let's just finish the game out and get this win. Let's not let this one slip through our fingers. We knew we had to come out and finish the game, and – we did that.
You know, Blount gets the 15-yard touchdown. They score two touchdowns to come right back in this football game. And it's Donnybrook, whatever you want to describe it as. But you're on the road. Now, it wasn't a sold-out stadium, as a matter of fact. There were some empty seats, but it seemed pretty darn loud out there. Not that it's going to affect you as much, but.
It was definitely really loud. It was. And I mean, it was hard to tell that it wasn't sold out because everybody had on red and they have red seats. So it was kind of hard to tell that it wasn't sold out. Especially with the, you know, noise level.
Well, Preston gets a big 36-yard catch, and you guys were beating him up too. I mean, these guys were making plays, but I remember early Doucette got there was a timeout. There was a lot of injury timeouts. It seemed like a pretty physical game. Was that the most physical game you've been in so far?
No.
Which one was for you?
Probably Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the Saints, Cincinnati or New Orleans.
So you guys are now, I know it's a little bit more about what Josh was able to do, and then we'll get to that Aurelius Bend catch where, you know, there's still quite a bit of time left on the clock, but now suddenly we're trailing in a game, and Captain Comeback has got five comebacks, and he throws that deep ball from basically in the pocket. Nice play action. We'll get to LeGarrette Blount and why his running is setting up a play action so well for this team now, but Aurelius Bend, a lot of people didn't hear about him early on, bro, because, you know, we just talked about Mike Williams on the other side. But this kid's starting to step up, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, man.
You're both same age, but
he's definitely good. You know, he was playing so well on special teams. Coaches had him out there, but one thing led to another. Now he's out there receiving the ball, and he's playing well, man. They're going to start getting to the ball a lot more. I can see it coming.
Blount gets the one-yarder, and now you guys are up 38-35. And, boy, I'll tell you what, for a defense that's saying score and get the ball back or get us the ball back, it seems like you guys are just dialing up the turnovers. Geno has another monster game, gets a big stick. How about Barrett Rood's interception off basically a half inch off the turf?
Coach always tells us, he says a lot of things, and we, like I said, we always say we believe in it and we, you know, we try and stick to it. Coach always tells us to be ball aware, and that's what Barrett was, man. As soon as the guy got hit, he found the ball and made a big play for us.
One of the few things number five didn't do well was took a sack, kind of got us out of field goal range. They block a kick, and I'm thinking to myself, and everybody else is thinking, boy, you know, you've been 60 minutes, you got to play 60 minutes. So you're back, you're back on defense again. The guy who plays to the right of his Styles gets a nice, I guess he gets credit for a sack because he forced a fumble. It's kind of recovered by the offensive lineman and pretty bad clock management by that team. They didn't really spike it or try to do anything. And then
I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, just like when they had us, when they needed 3 points, they threw the ball and Akeem got that second pick.
They're on the 20-yard line. They're on the 20-yard line.
Why are you throwing the ball?
Yeah.
We don't, I mean, I don't care now. We really didn't care that he was throwing it, and we won. So, I mean, but why would you throw the ball? I don't know. I'm not a coach, so I can't make that call.
Well, you're on the 5-2 ball club. 2 weeks ago, before last week's game, you started talking about in the media a little bit. You came out and you said, I've been thinking too much. I need to be a little bit just, you know, use my gifts, get off the ball, create havoc, get in the backfield. I think it's the most tackles you've had in the game so far, right?
Right.
Yep. This is your so give us – this is just 2 weeks in a row now? You're getting a little bit more happy with what's going on for you?
Yeah, man. I'm you know, it's starting to come out a little bit more, man. You can see on film how you see the difference in how I used to come off the ball the past few weeks and how I'm coming off now. I mean, I'm hitting guys and they're going backwards, you know, on the run. There would be some plays where I hit my guy and he'd be in the backfield, but it'd be a play action.
Sure.
You know, whereas if it was a run, I disrupt that whole play. And, you know, I'm just going to continue to do that and just get better each week.
It sounds like, you know, you don't want to play football going backwards. It's just it's the kind of sport you got to play when you're running.
You got to keep going forward, man.
Absolutely. He sits down every Tuesday night to talk to me, but he's more interested in talking to you, the Buccaneer fan. More and more of you are starting to turn your head back around to the 5-2 Buccaneers. Big game, of course, coming up right now. A couple of days when we take on the Falcons and all. But let's get you on these phone lines, 813-990-4620. Pinellas 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS, the 5-2 Buccaneers this time last year, and the very first I guess you could say, 2 months of the Raheem Morris regime. They were 0-7. They had just released their offensive, their defensive coordinator. Josh Freeman had been named the starter. We were going into a bye week, and we were getting ready to come out in a couple of weeks in these unis. You like these throwback unis?
I like those.
These are good. I think you're going to look good. Yeah, I've seen you in the one you were wearing. You know, you're going to look good in this.
I like those.
You got it. But this year, things are different. 5-2, and the young players, the young future stars for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are starting to turn heads in town. We'll come back, take your phone calls on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
To the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Welcome back, Gerald McCoy Show, every Tuesday night right here on the Buccaneer Radio Network. Scott Ledger getting ready to take your phone calls. We already got T-Bone and David loaded up. Got room behind them at 813-990-4620. You're becoming a believer, like lots and lots of people are, and recognizing that there is a there was a goal when Mark Dominic and Raheem Morris were named the people in charge of this team. And over this year, and not even quite a year and a half span, you're starting to see it come together both offensively and defensively. There's a different philosophy on defense than there used to be here. And this is an opportunistic team. This is 14 interceptions for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, okay? Not quite in halfway. That's, you know, that's a pace to have over 30 picks in a season. And, you know, the funny thing is there's so many different stats, and we've heard a lot about stats, haven't we, Gerald?
Definitely.
Yeah. You know, one of the stats that matters most in this league is turnover margin, okay? Coming into this game, you were at a +6. Now I believe you're at a +8. I think you had, yeah, the Sammy Spurlock off the fumble up and LeGarrette Blount. Josh Freeman, by the way, no picks. So now you're at a +8. Talk about what it's like to have the wind go out of the sails of a stadium. I mean, it must got instantly quiet. You could talk about Tlaib's pick. You could talk about Geno's pick. You could talk about Tlaib's other pick. It seemed like every time they were trying to get the emotionally and get the crowd back into it, you guys were doing that score and get the ball back stuff.
Yeah. It's like, ah.
Yeah.
That's really what it's like, and, you know, we don't care. That's what we love about that is we love going on the road, and we played well on the road this year.
Five straight road wins for your team,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah. We love going on the road. We love taking the energy out of, you know, somebody's home crowd. And we feed off their energy. Oh, they're excited. Then we need to be more excited so we can kill it. And that's just how we go out there and play. And it's exciting. After the game, you go in with a win, and you just see the fans. They're just down, and you sitting on the bus like, oh, well, we got this win.
Nice. All right, David, stand by. You're on deck. We're coming to you. T-Bone, you're up first tonight with Gerald McCoy. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, how y'all fellas doing?
T-Bone, welcome back, man.
What up, man? Mac and Ledge. What's up, partner? Hey, good win. But I just wanted to say one thing. I'm gonna tell you what I see. And I'm old, you know, football guy, whatever. Well, basketball, but I love watching football. What I see with the difference between the Bucks and a lot of teams is the playmaking coming from the bench and deep down in the depth. You know, you have people that you got your stars, you know, Free Mac. And you know, to leave those guys, but you got people like Grimm. You know, people, I'd be like, well, who is this guy? You know, if you don't really watch, you'd be like, you know, just a lot of different people making plays.
How about
like
Spurlock? There's a name for you, Michael Spurlock with big catches.
Man,
yep.
Man, everybody want to get on the field and make plays, and that's just something you can't, you know, you can't beat that. You can't beat that from a young team, veteran team, or whatever. You know, And one more thing, I do want to say on a personal level, Mac, okay, you know, say y'all young guys are becoming the face of this place right here in Tampa. So I really need I'm real big on integrity, you know, from my job and everything. Need for y'all guys to do the best y'all can to stay out of the papers with a lot of stupid stuff now, you know, because like I say, y'all young, and I know it's a lot of things out there that can get to a young man or whatever, but, you know, a lot of people betting on y'all, you know, and we proud of you.
Okay? All right, T-Bone. Man.
Appreciate it, Bone.
Thanks for checking in. You know, little by little, it's so weird because I look at it as a fan. We're on the outside looking in, but you're coming in on this kind of like a surfer coming in. You're going to catch – you're on this wave, but you're part of the wave too.
Right.
It's kind of like you're part of the youth injection, but so you kind of see it from your own perspective as a brand new player in this league, but you also see it as your team is starting to get more and more attention, a little bit more here, a little bit more there, another interview, another radio guy, another guy mentions you in an article, that kind of thing. And they always say that creates distraction, that creates dissent, that creates this, that creates that. But give us a real rounded look real quick. And, David, we're coming to you next. What's the locker room like right now?
Coaches always tell us not to – don't read the papers, don't watch TV, don't do none of that. Let's just stick to what we're doing, believe in us, and keep doing what it is we're doing. We are who we are, and we got us to where we're at. Not the media, you know, not people saying what they say, because if we believe what people were saying, we wouldn't be 5-2. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, because people have said, oh, yeah, well, they're 4-2, but and I'm not buying it. It's just the schedule they played. Well, now we're 5-2. People still say it's the schedule they played. I'm not buying it. So we're just gonna keep letting people talk. And we're just gonna keep on playing and doing what it is we're doing.
I like it. One day at a time. Well, all right, David. We're coming to you next. Appreciate you hanging on. You're on the Gerald McCoy Show, David.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Nice to talk with you, Gerald. Even though I've lived down in Florida for 20 years and love the college football down here, I've been an OU fan way back. And the thing that I find, and I've been a Dolphins fan for most of my life since I've been down here, but I keep wanting to pay attention to the Buccaneers. Every weekend I check to see if the games are on. And what I find really refreshing about the Buccaneers is the youth at all the important positions that you notice when you're as a fan watching the game, wide receivers, quarterback, running back. And I think the youth on this team is very exciting. You're an exciting team to watch. Congratulations on your record this far. I wanted to ask you about the two best young quarterbacks that I've seen in the league this year. One is your current teammate, Josh Freeman, and the other is your former teammate at Oklahoma, Sam Bradford. And I was wondering if you could maybe compare, if there are any comparison between the two, either from mentally or physically. A lot of people didn't think Sam Bradford was going to hold up. He looks like he's the real deal, and Josh Freeman sure does look like the real deal, too. Could you talk on both of those guys, and I'll hang up and get your thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Honestly, I don't think there's a comparison. I think there's two different style of player, two different types of guys. I think Freeman can make more plays with his legs. He's a lot bigger. Sam is tall, too, but Free's just so much bigger. And Free can kind of make you nervous if he's running at you, whereas Sam doesn't do that. But Sam, one thing he's learning from what I've watched when we played them is he's learning how to make plays with his feet too. And I think Free has a bigger arm, but I think Sam is more accurate. I mean, it's just two different styles of quarterbacking, but I'm happy for both of them. You know, I played with Sam, and now I'm playing with Freeman. I knew Freeman in high school, knew Sam in high school. I mean, I'm just happy for both of them.
By the way, Rams are 4-4, and their division is wide open over there. 49ers can't do anything. The Cardinals are hot and cold. Seattle is up and down, so their division is wide open too. Don't be surprised if the Rams are – you might have an 8-8, 7-9 victory over there in that division.
Yeah. Right.
That kind of craziness. Anthony and Chris, we're going to come to you next. I want to bump ahead. We're going to go to John because John wants to talk about something that is in the news for the Bucs. Johnny, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to – I know the Buccaneers just announced that they had placed Brian Price on injured reserve. And, you know, being that both of you guys came in, you know, in the same draft and you know, kind of gearing the defensive line towards you guys, I just wanted Gerald's thoughts on – how that was going to impact the rest of the season for them and what, you know, what he felt about that personally and you know, just how it was going to score with the team. And I'll hang up and let you answer.
Appreciate it, John. Oh, yeah, BP got some bad news today.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he had a, you know, struggling hamstring injury and it was bothering him. But he's a soldier. He's a warrior and he played through it. Well, it's just kind of got too bad, you know, and you know, you always feel bad for a guy, especially when he comes into your draft class and such a key part of our D-line. You know, we wish him a speedy recovery, and he'll be back. He'll be back real soon, but it's kind of one of those things where if a guy goes down, somebody has to step up, and we have to keep moving. Not saying that we won't miss him, because we will, but we just have to keep on playing and wish him the best.
That's right. Brian Price will be a Buccaneer for quite a few years. He can rehab. He can work on strength, conditioning. There's a lot of things he can be doing.
Will be missed.
And studying a lot of film. He'll have plenty of time to learn on the go. And next springtime and OTAs and everything, he'll be healthy as a horse and about a 310-pound horse at the time probably. And we'll be good to go. Brian, John, appreciate the phone call. We're going back to Anthony out there in Lawton, Oklahoma. See, these people track you down, man. They track you down. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, Gerald?
Hey, Anthony, what's up, man?
Hey, man, I live out here in Lawton, Oklahoma, man. I don't know if you know where that's at, but it ain't too far from Oklahoma City. But the question I have for you, you know, and not to be disrespectful or anything, but I really wasn't that big of an Oklahoma fan, even though I live in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I'm a Miami Hurricane fan, and, man, you cause us a lot of problems, man, and boy, I got to say that I didn't like that too much. I mean, I was like, man, who's this guy, man, just causing all types of havoc, man. I was like, wow. But I just let you know, man, just looking at the things online, man, you've been really holding down that D-line. I know a lot of people probably look at the sacks and all that type of stuff, but you are definitely the reason, you know, that defense is clicking right now, even though, you know, people may not see the sacks. But I'm just going to call and let you know, man, I'm proud that you a Buck, man. You gave me so many fits. You know what I mean? Both of those Miami Hurricane games. You know, and, hey, I'm a Laker fan too, man.
Definitely.
You know, you a Lakers fan.
Three-peat, so baby. I got you.
Yeah, so you know if you a Laker fan, you know how we do things.
Yeah,
like,
I got you,
Lakers, man. Yeah, so, you know, hey, hold it down, man, and, hey, let it loose out there, man. I know you got it in you, man. It's like I told Free a couple of weeks ago, man, just let it loose, man.
Appreciate it, Anthony. Appreciate it,
all right, y'all,
man.
Be safe.
You got it, Anthony. Too. Hold down the central part of this country for us, man. Appreciate you listening to
fellow
the show.
Okie. I love it.
You got it.
I
told you they track you down. They'll find you. They'll find you, man.
He's a Lakers fan, man.
Yeah, I know. You light up when you talk basketball. I wish I knew more about hoops, but see the problem with hoops right now? They take 2.5 steps. They palm the ball. I grew up watching basketball where nowadays the guys, the way they hack under the net, there would be fouls all day. They'd be traveling called all the time. I'm an old-school basketball guy. I'm more like pick and roll, hit a jumper.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
kind of guy.
But that's where Jordan stepped in. He changed the game, man.
Yes, he
gets under there.
Actually, okay, I'd say Julius Erving changed the game.
Yeah.
George Gervin. There's some guys.
Yeah.
There were some guys before Michael Jordan.
It was a collective effort, I'll put it like that.
Yeah.
But the level of play that Jordan took the game to, it's just a little different.
Well, you learn. Here's a perfect analogy, though. I mean, you look around him. He's got, you know, he had a rebounded. He's got, you know, one of the best rebounders to ever play, you know, as crazy as he is or was. But he had tools around him. That's the point I'm making.
He did.
And you guys are building that same kind of defense where, you know, the corners are starting to occasionally get that one-on-one assignments that frees up blitzers. But believe me, you didn't get a chance to watch a lot of Buccaneer football under the Monty Kiffin regime. But we're seeing more and more blitzes. I mentioned off the air, I think that was the first time this year I've seen Sean Jones blitz. I'm not sure. I'm not, you know, a coach, and I don't dial it all up. But, you know, and even Cody Grimm. I think a lot of that has to do with a young coach trusting his young players to make sure that they got the responsibilities down, because every time you blitz, you risk something, right?
Right. And, I mean, Coach Morris has so many blitzes and things he has.
How often is he using them?
That's what I'm saying. He has them up his sleeve, and he doesn't use half of them, man. He trusts us so much to just play defense. He just gives us the defense and wants us to play it, man. There's so many more things he could do that he's just not doing, but it's working. And, you know, like I said, each week they have a great game plan for us, and we're just going to go out there and execute it the best way we can.
Now, you guys held a running back. Remember, it was like 4 weeks in a row you had running backs, individual running backs, all with over 100 yards. This team barely got 100 yards rushing on you as a team, so this was a big improvement in stopping the run against, you know, Beanie Wells and so on and so forth. So do you think it's starting to come around in the run game because you guys are getting more penetration in the backfield. It just looks like it's more disruption. That's really what it is, man.
Yeah. It's starting to change, and it's clear to see, man. We're making more plays in the backfield, and that's due to the D-line getting off the ball. It makes the linebackers read so much easier. They could see, okay, Gerald's upfield. All right, let me go here. I mean, it's making things so much easier on our backers, and we're starting to make more plays in the backfield.
That's good to hear. That is so good to hear. Size over speed, I wanted to ask you about that because he was talking about being a Miami fan, and, you know, there's always that case where, you know, teams come in, they've got speed, other teams have size. In college football, it's like, you know, Nebraska won a national championship by basically running the same option play 60 plays a game because they were big and bad, and they run over a team that was smaller and faster. But do you think that's, you know, why you guys got the best of the Canes and gave them fits? Not that we're talking Miami football here, but, I just wanted to ask you that little side question.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those deals where, I mean, Miami is Miami, and they're the U, but we're Oklahoma, and they have speed, but it just depends on the type of players they have. You know, Oklahoma, we run the ball, but now, you know, the Big 12 is a spread offense. You have quarterbacks like Sam Bradford. Now we have speed with, you know, big guys up front. If we need to use power, we can. Whereas Miami, you know, they have a quarterback who can run around now. Now they have speed, and they've always had speed, but, you know, they've also had power at times too. I mean, it's just, you know, it just depends on the type of players you have at that time.
Have you seen Oregon play football? Have you seen that offense?
Yeah, Oregon's very dynamic.
That is crazy.
They do everything.
That conditioning.
Right.
That conditioning that their players have. That's pretty amazing. Let me ask you about conditioning. I want to ask you about that because, you know, sometimes you look at other players and you're on a road and you're playing in a rowdy stadium and you're trying to hang on to a lead. And I remember looking at Browns players in the fourth quarter that looked dogged. Not that, you know, every team you've played at didn't seem to have the same conditioning, but, you know, one of the upsides of a young team is conditioning over. I think, you know, if you're looking at a veteran laden team in the fourth quarter, is that a good point for you? You think the youth in that aspect, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. You know,
you feel condition, like it's in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I mean, you condition yourself by how hard you practice, and we practice pretty hard. Our practices are built off speed. We have practices where we have physical practices too, but the thing about our physical practices, they're still built off speed. We hit hard, physical at first, and then run to the ball. I mean, it's just built off speed. And, you know, we practice so hard, that way we get in the game, it's easy. And we are conditioned because, you know, our DBs and linebackers chasing guys around all game. Then they coming down here making plays, getting interceptions, running it to the end zone. I mean, people think you get an interception, you make a house call. That's just easy to do. No, you still got to have conditioning. You know, without getting tired. And our guys, man, they catch the ball, they go into the house. You know, and that also shows how everybody else is in, you know, great condition too, because we're making those blocks and running with the guy. And, you know, it's just all about how hard you practice.
Your boss is always talking about that. Play fast. And I think that's exactly what he is talking about. Oh, by the way, Dominique Wilkins, too.
Dominique Wilkins.
Yeah, that guy was
a beast.
Beast taking it to
You're
the
right.
net. He was a beast. And that was before MJ, really. Sort of.
Yeah, it was.
All right, Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620 or 1-800-596-BUCKS. Gerald McCoy Show. Bucks are 5-2. Getting ready to take on that other 5-2 team. Boy, you're starting to get into the meat of the season now, and the tension and the fingernail biting and expectations are going up. You feeling any of that pressure on you yet?
Not yet.
Maybe a couple more wins and you'll start feeling the expectations. Yeah.
Definitely.
You got it. Coming back to do the second half of the Gerald McCoy Show right here on the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Gerald McCoy Show on your home for the Buccaneers. 620 WDAE and US 1035.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Gerald McCoy Show. 1-800-596-BUCKS. Got an open line in Hillsboro at 813-990-4620. Pinellas, we got one there for you, 727-461-4620. Going right back to the phones. Chris, you're on with Gerald McCoy.
Hey, what's going on, Ledge?
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Gerald, how's it going, man?
Good, how you doing?
All right, congrats on the 5-2 record. And what I wanted to ask you about in a second, and I'll take your answer off the air about Raheem as the head coach, but just seems like the trend that he's got going, his stamp is that no matter who he puts in the game, on our whole 53-man roster, it just seems like he gets the best out of whoever he puts out there. And he's, our offensive line was missing three people, and no matter who he plugs in, he just seems to get the best out of these players. And I attribute a lot of that to him. Now, my question is, I've had quite a few jobs in my life, and I've worked for some jerks. And when they ask me to do something or they want me to go that extra mile, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever, huh? And I usually, blow it off. But I am lucky right now that I work for a great boss, and I've worked for a few of them in the past, but I work for a great boss. All of us love him. We all go the extra mile, and if he asks us to do something, I mean, we go twice as hard at it to get it done because we want to help him out because he takes care of us. Is that the case with Raheem? And I want to take your Coach Raheem, and I'll take your answer off the air.
Definitely. He is, he's our leader. And like I always mention each week, we're a family. And we're growing as a family, and he's the head of our family. And him and Mr. Dominic, along with the Glazers, they are the heads of our family. And I always mention how Mr. Dominic and Ra, they have a vision. And their vision is for us to win and to put the best 53, out there. Whether it's 11 on defense and you have your 11 on offense, they're putting the best out there. And what they have at the time is their best, and they believe in who they put out there. And all they do is to ask – all they ask of us is to give it all. Play hard, play fast, play smart, be consistent. That's it. And play for 60 minutes. And they won't put you out there unless they believe in you. And, all our players take that as a challenge, and we just go out there and give it all for our coach, for our family, because that's what we are.
When you're in that huddle and it's the fourth quarter and you're thinking to yourself, I don't want to let down who? Your players? You guys?
Our family.
Exactly.
Right.
Your coach, your players.
Right.
The
family.
Yeah.
It's not just, okay, these other 10 guys that are playing with me. You also got, those other 52 guys, plus coaches, plus your GM, plus the owners. We're a family here. At one buck, and we don't want to let anybody down.
I love it. All right, we're going to go out to the left coast, a good contingent of Bucks fans throughout this country, and they're starting to pop up because they're 5-2, and they can wear their stuff out and puff up the chest a little, bow it out. And we're going all the way out to Phil. Phil, appreciate the phone call. Welcome to the Gerald McCoy Show.
How you doing, Ledge? Mr. Gerald McCoy, how you doing, sir?
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Pretty good. I just want to say your jersey was the first one I bought for the season.
Appreciate it, Phil.
I was excited that we had another defensive guy on, but I gotta say, the offensive unit is starting to win me over too. So I want to get some sacks under your belt, and I know you are. I did have a comment and a question for sure, but I am watching your performance, and I definitely see you improving. So I just want to say, keep doing what you are doing, and I know
Thanks,
the coaches
Phil.
Are helping you. And one other thing, too, is you're a Laker fan. I love you even more. So 4-0 against Memphis Grizzlies tonight, so I'll be watching the game. And I know you'll be, too. But I do have a question. I hold my faith close to my heart, too. I'm a Christian, and I know you are. And it's really good to know that you're a faith kind of guy. My question is, who else in the Buck Squad organization shares that faith with you, and do you guys have a ritual or anything like that before the game? I know you guys pray, but it wasn't like before where they used to show, at the end of the game, everyone huddled in the middle and both teams, kneel and say their blessings. But I just want to say I look up to you even more for that. And I do have a California burrito when you come down to San Diego. and Ledge, I guess you got to say Talib's pick six was a lot better than his dance. Do you agree?
Well, you know, I expect a little bit more. I appreciate the phone call, Phil, you know, because it had been a build-up for Tlaib. And, you know, he had quite a few picks in his career, but he had not gotten his pick six. And then, you know, I don't know. I expect a little bit more. What about you?
I mean, I'm not really much of a celebrator, man. If I make a play, I make it. And I go on to the next one.
No sack dance.
No, I don't.
Nothing.
I don't. Like I mean,
we got Matthews is, doing this. We got guys hitting home runs.
The thing is, I've been sitting at home thinking, what will I do once I get this sack? And honestly, I don't think I'm going to do anything. I think I'm going to just be happy and move on to the next play because that's what I'm supposed to be doing. That's what they put me out there for. So make this play and move on to the next one.
He made a comment about the locker room. There's various religions throughout the world.
There is.
And you always get a good mix in the locker room. You get some people that aren't religious at all and then people that hold it very close to the heart. So, you know,
throughout the NFL,
they usually gathered, you know, in the center at the end of the game and kind of kneel and stuff. But even some of those people are various faiths and all.
Sometimes, right. Sometimes. You know, that still happens, and I think, you know, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was started by Reggie White. He started that praying after the game in the middle of the field. And sometimes you don't see guys out there doing it, but it's not that they, you know, they don't not strong in their faith. Sometimes guys just celebrate, and they just get caught up in the moment and just, you know, celebrating.
Sure.
But you also see those same guys beforehand when we go in the shower and pray as a team. When we pray before the games, or the guys you may see miss that prayer after the game in the middle of the field, you see him in, Bible study.
Adam Hayward does this by himself.
Bible study.
At the center of the field before the game. So everybody does it in their own way, huh?
Everybody, you know, yeah. I run to the end zone and pray. I do a lot of praying, a lot of it. I'm in the Bible studies, and, you know, that's great. But it's not what you do when everybody's looking. That's not what it's about.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
you're doing it for you and nobody else but you. You and your own personal relationship with your creator. John in Seminole, you're up, buddy, on the Gerald McCoy Show. Appreciate the call.
Hi, how's it going, Ledge?
Doing good, buddy. Appreciate the call, man. 5-2. Gerald, it's got to feel good, huh, John? 5-2?
Oh, I'm feeling great about it. And Gerald, it's nice to talk to you.
You too, John.
And I'm really impressed with what you've been doing, and I was impressed that the Bucks took you and the draft picks they did. I just had a couple questions and comments. You know, falling behind and coming back, that's a great thing, but sometimes that's a double-edged sword, meaning that, you know, like we did with the Saints, and this being a divisional game against the Falcons, who have a really well, well-organized offense, and especially the run game, which we've had some kind of problems in the past stopping, you know, before this season, but this season too. What I'm thinking is, what are you thinking about stopping the run game? And do you really want to fall behind and have to rely on coming back with Josh Freeman in the fourth quarter, which obviously you've done well this season? And it just, I'm going to say go Bucks. I just want to listen to your answers. And I was kind of listening to what Raheem had to say yesterday, that it'd be nice to be able to get up in front a little bit and hold the lead, because we kind of squandered that last week against Arizona. But hey, go Bucks. I got the Super Bowl Bucks tattooed on my arm, so I'm no bigger Bucks fan. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying, how do we stop the run better and get a little bit more pressure on the quarterback? And I'll listen to your response. Go Bucks. Love you guys, and God bless.
Good call. He'd make a good coach. You know why? Because he's always, you know, 5-2 feels good, but I'm not satisfied. I want improvement. Right. I want improvement.
And that's how Coach Morris is. Sure. You always hear him say, we're not where we need to be by no means. And nobody wants to play, you know, from behind. Nobody wants to get down and then say, well, we got a quarterback that can bring us back. Nobody wants to do that. So we're going to, like I said, getting the win is great. But after you get the win, now you can go back and fix the little things. And we've been improving, actually, with our pressure on the quarterback and us stopping the run. It's getting
tackling
better each week.
Tackling looked better. I don't know. How did you guys grade on tackles this week? It looked better.
Yeah, it was. Yes. You know, it wasn't as many missed tackles. You know, once a guy got hit, he was going to the ground.
Well, a lot of that has to do with where he's being hit.
Right.
He's being hit behind the line of scrimmage and at the line of scrimmage rather than 3 or 4 yards downfield, because then he's more in an open field and he's going to probably break a tackle or two anyway. So.
And that's why we're improving and what we're doing, man. Our D-line is getting off the ball. Our backers are, you know, they're shooting the gaps, and once they see you, see an opportunity, they shoot their gun and make the play.
Quincy ran down a great play from behind right. in the backfield last week.
And I watched that play today, and it was an open hole, whereas he could have scraped over the top to cut the guy off, but he seen that gap, and he shot it and just chased the guy down. I mean, it's different plays like that where we're improving each week, and we're just going to keep building on it.
Any changes at halftime? Because, again, you guys, for the most part, don't seem to be making any huge changes in the schemes of what you're doing. That's why I asked you about conditioning, because I wasn't sure, you know, when you guys are cleaning things up, it's always, I always hear from you guys, it's gap responsibility and tackling and, you know, the basics, you know, blocking, tackling, catching, the football basics. But is it, do you think we're starting to get better schemes against other teams, and we're starting to get them into situ, you know, forcing them into third and long instead of third and two, third and three?
Right.
You know what I mean? You're starting to get more effective on defense because you're having more success on first and second.
Yeah, we are. When we're getting better at stopping the run early, and that's what we have to keep doing. I mean, we have a those two running backs. They have, you know, in
two.
Atlanta.
They had Norwood too.
Right. They had what? They have three.
Well, you got Michael Turner. You got Jarius Norwood. You got Jason Snelling, who's certainly not exactly easy to bring down.
Bottom line is they can run the ball, and they're good at it. They have.
And Matty Ice is a third-year quarterback.
Right, now. And they have three good running backs, you know, so it'll be great to get them down early, you know, first and second down, get some big stops. That way we put them in those passing situations. That way we can start rushing the passer more and, you know, start controlling the game more because we're stopping them on first and second down.
All right, let's sneak Rob in before we go to the break. Rob, you're on the Gerald McCoy Show.
Good evening. Hey, I'm not from the area, and admittedly, I'm not a Bucs fan yet. But, you know, guys like you, Gerald, you know, Christian, stand up, wonderful example for the community in more ways than one. It's guys like you, I could very easily become one.
All right, then. Let's get on with it, Rob. Come on. Let's convert you right here, right now. I need you to publicly declare you're a Buc fan for me.
You know what? Why not? I will be.
Appreciate it, Rob.
You're doing all the right things. Wonderful. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, thank you.
You got it. You know, the bandwagon's going to fill up the more you win, you know. You do know that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just keep on winning, man.
You recognize the public shopping pretty soon, and, you know, you might get pulled over for, you know, going a little too fast, and the cop will go, hey, you're Joe McCoy, aren't you? I'm just teasing you.
No perks.
You don't drive fast, do you?
Not at all.
Exactly. All right. You know, we have mentioned, and the callers have mentioned, Gerald's faith. He holds it very close to him. It's a large part of what he is and why he is and why he does what he does. And we'll come back, and he'll tell us some of the inspiration he gets out of the Good Book. And we'll actually peek a little bit more at the Atlanta Falcons. I predict a playoff atmosphere, very loud, 2-5-2 teams fighting for the NFC South division lead halfway through the season. That's got to feel good.
It's going to be great.
It's got to feel
good.
It'll
be a big one.
All right, guys, we'll come back and talk about that right here on the Gerald McCoy Show on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
This is the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.
Buccaneers won back-to-back. Cleveland, Carolina, lost a tough one to Pittsburgh, found a way to win Cincy on the road, lost another tough one at home to New Orleans, and went on the road, took care of the, took care of the Rams, and then went on the road, and now you got another road game, and this time around you get to play a team you've never played before. Buck fans are very familiar with them, but you get your inspiration from the Good Book. So before we talk about the X's and O's of the game, take it away, bro.
Scripture for this week, you guys, is Romans 5:3-5, and it says, not only this, but we also rejoice in sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. That scripture was kind of key for me this week, because I always get on the show and talk about my love and passion for this game. I love this game so much. It's not my life, but it is what I do. And I truly believe God, this is the gift God's given me. He's put me on this earth to play this game. all, but to use it for his glory. Let me clear that up, to use it for his glory. But, you know, this whole sack thing is kind of an issue for me because I love the game so much. And it's not that I'm getting discouraged. It's just that I want it so bad. And, when you know, it's kind of like a kid wanting McDonald's. You know, they just want it so bad, they just love it. Mm-hmm. And that's how I love this game, and that's how I love to make plays for my team. And when it's not coming, it's like suffering for me. And
but that's where the endurance comes in.
Right. But the more I go through it, the more endurance I have, and it just keeps building, and it just does nothing but make me stronger. So that's why that scripture was so key. Anybody wants to go back and read it, I think you should read Romans 5 all the way through. But the scripture for this week was Romans 5, 3 through 5.
Well, Mark Tomic and the ownership from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wanted to make sure that they were going to make a youth movement. And I got to ask you real quick, there's not a lot of elderly guys on the D-line that might be able to take you under the wing and go, don't worry, Rook, I can remember this year, that year. You know what I mean? Do you think that sometimes because you're coming in as a rookie, you're looking around and other guys, you know, what if there was a D tackle? Well, Ryan Sims played in the league quite a bit. Ryan's what, 7-8 years in the league now?
Nine years
in the league. I mean, I'm sure he sat you down and said, don't worry, you know, they come in bunches, you know, and that's how it works.
Yeah, and then, you know, that's been said by numerous people, but, you know, it's hard for me to feel that way because I love it so much and I just want to be great. I know it takes time to be great, but I just – there's some things I want to do, and I just got to learn to relax more and just
drive,
be more patient.
That's a good thing. Huh? Drive is good. When you're a professional athlete, you got to have drive.
Right.
You got it. All right. 5-2. You got a chance to go 6-2. I know, you know, as fans, we came in with limited expectations. We realized when we looked around the roster, we realized that this team was retooling for the future. And, by the way, a great way to retool is to build through the draft. And, you know, this is an exciting young team, but this is an exciting team for next year, the year after that, the year after that, and it's just a great future for this team. But you're going to hostile territory again. You guys have a chance to win six road games. Young teams don't do that well. What's going on with you guys?
Huh. We believe. You got to believe. We believe in us and not what everybody's saying. Like I said earlier in the show, if we listen to what everybody else was saying, then you know, we wouldn't be 5-2. So we're just going to continue to believe in us and keep on playing hard. Just keep on working hard, believing in Coach Morris and Mr. Dominic's vision, and keep it rolling.
The race to 10.
Race to 10.
You're halfway
there. Halfway.
Halfway there.
Sir.
Well, stay healthy, man.
All right.
That first one's coming. I can feel it. I can feel it.
Definitely.
That's right. All right, guys, appreciate all the phone calls. Everybody that checked in, don't forget, we got Total Access coming your way. We'll talk to Eric Lorig, man. This guy just does everything, defensive end, fullback, H-back, tight end, and he will be our guest tomorrow night on Buccaneers Total Access. Talk to you then right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
5-2, let's go.
Been listening to the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.